Last weekend, one of the last working phone booths in Arkansas was hit by a car. The booth, which has become an iconic part of Prairie Grove, appears to be headed for repairs and is expected to be back sometime in the future. The phone booth's fate is also attracting some national attention. In August of 1995, that very booth was part of a story Kyle produced about the diminishing number of phone booths in the region.
This is Ozarks at Large. Let's say you wanted to make a call from a phone booth. Not just a pay phone, but an actual phone booth with a door that opens and closes. In Arkansas, your only option may be to come right here, in Prairie Grove, across from the Prairie Grove Battlefield State Park.
You see, there used to be phone booths everywhere. Inside hotels, inside airports, and outside, in front of stores and on street corners. But they're almost all gone now. What happened? Did they become too big? Did they evolve into smaller, faster, smarter pay phones? Or were they wiped out in a meteor shower? The fact is, simple economics, and the splitting of Ma Bell, created the way for the extinction of phone booths. Wayne Snuffy Smith is something of a phone booth historian. He worked for AT&T for over 20 years in the public communications department, what the insiders call the coins department. Now retired from the phone business, he runs a photography shop in Little Rock. Snuffy can tell you all sorts of facts about payphones and phone booths. For instance, the first payphone in history was installed in Hartford, Connecticut in 1888. The first coin phone in the Southwest was in the Capitol Hotel in Little Rock, installed in 1894. Snuffy says once Ma Bell broke up, the phone booth's days were numbered.
And the reasons for the demise of the wooden payphone booth, of course, is expense. When they came out with the wooden payphone booths, Western Electric manufactured the first ones. And they had little blower motors in them, little cooling fans, and they had lights. And they were very well made by hand. Some of them made out of cherry wood, some of them made out of oak, some of them pine, of course, but there are still some out there that are beautiful. And they were put in place to match the decor of whatever they were in, like a hotel or a bus station, a train station, but they were very expensive.
Now the ones I can also remember growing up were the ones that were not so much wood, but mostly glass and metal.
Aluminum, okay. Yeah, you're a youngster. That's the kind Superman changed into.
I wonder what Superman does now.
I don't know. He'd have a hard time changing in one of these new type enclosures.
Enclosures. That's what payphones have around them now. Those blue shields that extend just a few inches past the phone and curve inward like a canoe tacked sideways to the wall. You can't hide your face behind those things, let alone change into blue underwear with an S on the chest.
Well, nowadays we've determined that Superman is so fast that, I mean, that he could probably change clothes right in front of you without you even knowing it.
Corey Carlson is the editor of Superman comic books, published by DC Comics.
In terms of representing it graphically, we do a lot of different things. I mean, in the movies, they do the revolving door stunt a couple of times. And, things like that.
And so the phone booth, lack of phone booth, doesn't bother Supes at all?
Nope, not really. Not really at all. So he can just, like I said, he's so fast, he could probably just leap into the sky and change, in mid-flight even.
Okay, Superman might not miss those corner phone booths, but can you imagine Robert Redford and all the president's men trying to call Deep Throat from a cellular phone?
This is Woodward. I want to talk about Watergate.
Okay, where were we? Phone booths, that's right. Former AT&T payphone specialist Wayne Smith says what most of us don't understand is that phone booths just cost a bunch of money to maintain once all the features are added up.
Payphones had to operate like everything else on their own. They had to, so they took a long, hard look, like you wouldn't go out here and spend. These aluminum booths, they're very expensive. Now, compare aluminum booth to putting mounting a, just a payphone on a wall in a housing. There's a lot of difference in cost. And back before the divestiture, it didn't worry so much about cost. It was more what the customer wanted. Now we're getting down to where it has, they have to pay for themselves because all the toll revenue that we got from AT&T didn't subsidize local service anymore. And payphones are still considered local service. Aluminum booths, they cost, it cost $1,200 to install. We go out here and put a just a little aluminum shelf on a mounted on the wall, and it might, now these figures are, you know, I'm just estimating.
Right.
This may cost, you know, $600 or $700.
Smith says lawsuits filed by people cut by glass in a booth or injured in some way soon began to add up. In the 1970s, Smith says an AT&T study revealed that the coins dropped into payphone slots alone would have been enough cash to fuel a Fortune 500 company. But he says cellular phones have begun to take a chunk of that change. Many of the booths were auctioned off for charity, and now almost all of them are gone.
But just how soundproof are the doors on the old phone booths? Well, this is what it sounds like when you're having a conversation in a phone booth along a busy highway in Prairie Grove with the door open. And this is what it sounds like in the phone booth with the door closed.
Okay, so that didn't sound that different. One of the glass panels in that Prairie Grove phone booth, by the way, is missing. But the phone booth is not designed to help the person on this end hear the caller, but to allow the person at the payphone to hear better on his or her end. That's why payphones today, with nothing but those enclosures to protect them, have those little volume buttons on them. And besides, those phone booth doors come in pretty handy if you happen to be attacked by a flock of crazed birds. Tippi Hedren probably would have never made it out of Hitchcock's The Birds without that phone booth protecting her from the seagulls. Oh, and there's one more thing Stuffy Smith says people don't understand about payphones. They are complicated little devils, not at all just a vending machine with a receiver.
But it has to depend on gravity. And it has to determine the denomination of the coin. It has to determine the material that it's made of, so it'll reject slugs and, you know, foreign coins and of course, the weight of the coin, a lot of things, it determines in that just flash of a millisecond when that coin drops through there.
And so now that we know that one of the last of the outdoor phone booths is in Prairie Grove, there is just one more thing. Figuring out how, in these post-divestiture days full of regional, local, and subsidiary phone companies, you make a long-distance call.
Yes, operator, I'm trying to make a long-distance call, and I'm not able to do that. I was wondering if you could place it for me. It's Arkansas number 575-618.
That story first aired on Ozarks at Large in August 1995. The phone booth in Prairie Grove mentioned in that story was hit last weekend by a car, but is expected to be repaired.